welcome to Local Talk, a show that explores the people, the stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson, and we've got a great show lined up for you. One thing you might want to do right now is take down our in-studio phone number. So grab a pen, everyone, and write this number down. It's 232-0365. You might want to have that handy throughout the hour as we will be giving away tickets to the Camelot Theater in Nevada, where the Iowa Talent Factory has some shows on Saturday that it wants to promote. And we are going to be joined by the director of that organization, Larry Sloan, in a few minutes. We're also going to be talking about an organization whose main source of income at the present time are the profits they stand to make from dumpster diving. That's right. This organization runs on our leftovers, and it is a really dynamic organization with great people who will be joining us as well. That's coming up right now. We are going to be exploring a program that's part of our community service appreciation program that Kay Puttock, our reporter and board member, puts on. Every month we focus on a particular organization, and this month it's the Animal Shelter of Ames, and she has a very interesting story about one of the programs that they have there at the Animal Shelter in Ames.
I'm here with Megan Tokine, who works as a volunteer at the Animal Shelter, and she also works with volunteers there, and she's going to tell us about that today. Welcome, Megan.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here and talk with you.
Well, why didn't you just start telling us what you do with the animals and the volunteers?
Okay, so I am a volunteer at the Ames Animal Shelter, and I work, when I go there by myself, primarily with the dogs. I take them outside. There's an outdoor pen, and just let them spend time out in the fresh air and run around. There's some tennis balls. Just kind of get them out and get them exercised a little bit for a few minutes. And I also go with some of the clients I work with at Lutheran Services who like to go to the Animal Shelter as well. And when I go with some of my clients, we also work with the cats. So we do cats and dogs.
Now, just going back to the dogs in the outdoor pen for a minute, is there a limit on the number of dogs they have outside at one time?
Usually we just take one out at a time.
Oh, okay.
Just in case there's a dog maybe that doesn't like other dogs.
Uh-huh.
Just one at a time. I know that sometimes the staff will take out more than one if they know that they're safe to be out.
If they know they get on.
Yeah.
Well. And you're also the animal shelter is very close to the dog park. I take my dog often to the dog park, and I wondered if the shelter animals ever go there and play with the other dogs there. Or...
Right. Not that I know of. I know some of the reason might be that some of the dogs come and go really fast, and so they don't know much about the dogs to know if they're safe to go in with other dogs.
Yeah, and what happens, it's noticeable at the dog park, actually, since it's been there, which hasn't been very long, the dogs there have all got to know one another, and they all get on much better than they used to at first.
Right.
So, yeah. And the people you work with, you said they're from Lutheran Services.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain that a bit more?
So Lutheran Services is here in Ames, and it works with all kinds of people. But I work in the People with Disabilities Department, and I work with a couple clients during the week on goals that they have to become more independent.
So these are intellectual disabilities?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And you said they work with the cats and the dogs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's their choice. And we take the dogs out like I do when I'm there by myself, and then also work with the cats. The animal shelter has they have two cat rooms that you can take the cats in and have them play with toys or brush them or just let the cat stretch its legs for a few minutes.
I've got the same question about the cat room as I had about the dog outdoor, and that is there a limit to the number that go in there at a time?
Usually with volunteers, I think they have us do just one. Sometimes there are cats that come in together, and they call those bonded pairs, and they can go in together because they're used to each other. But I think mostly with volunteers, they do one at a time.
Okay. And they brush them and pet them and so on.
Lots of toys in there.
And do you find that this is... I don't know if the right word is therapeutic or helpful for your clients.
Yeah, and for me. The original reason I started volunteering at the shelter is because I love animals, primarily dogs, but I can't have one. I'm a college student in an apartment. So going to the shelter is just kind of a nice way to relax for a few minutes and have a pet, you know, but not really for the half hour you spend. And I know my clients really appreciate that time as well.
Well, that's very responsible of you, actually, to say you can't have a pet, because I know a lot of college students start out trying to have a pet,
right.
And quite often it goes back, the pet goes back to mom or something, or
right.
or worse.
right.
So that you're thinking ahead. That's great. Have you got any particular stories of things that have happened since you've been working at the shelter? I should ask you how long you've been doing this. Actually.
I think it's been about a year. I think I started the beginning of last summer. So just over a year.
Mm-hmm. And have you got any stories of anything in particular that's happened that's inspiring or interesting or funny? Or
kind of a fun story. Last summer when I started volunteering, there was a dog there named Frito. And he was a mix. He was a great dog. And he had been there so long already. He had been there since, I think, the previous winter. So a couple of months already. And no one had wanted to adopt him. And so he'd been there and the staff knew, you know, his temperament. And so I could take him out on walks and go past the dog park. And he was just a lot of fun. But nobody was adopting him, which was kind of sad. So it worked out that my sister wanted a dog. And so she lives in Tennessee. And so we did a long-distance adoption, Rito. And so she got to take him home over Christmas break last year.
Oh, that is a good story.
And so it was kind of fun.
Did you show her a picture of the dog and everything?
Yeah. I would send pictures and be like, are you sure?
Long-distance dating.
Yeah. I would send pictures. Are you sure you don't want this dog? He's really nice. But it worked out. And it was a lot of fun just to be able to know where he was going.
Yeah, what did he look like, Rito?
He was mostly white. And he has a black ear and then kind of like a black patch over one eye. He's a cute dog.
But for some reason, what size, a smallish dog?
He was medium. He was a pit bull and lab mix, but he looked like a lab. But I think the pit bull was kind of
scaring people off.
Yeah, but he's a sweet dog. He's a lot of fun.
A lot of them are. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, most dogs, in my experience, are very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Pit bulls. They do like to fight other dogs. For some reason, my mother loved, we didn't call them pit bulls, we just called them bull terriers, but she just loved them, and we often had them. And we had just one that just, I mean, he was a nice dog,
right.
And certainly a good watchdog, but he liked to fight other dogs.
Yeah, they're very athletic and sometimes aggressive, but
yes.
He was nice.
Okay. About how often in your experience, and you mentioned you've just been there over a year, do animals stay there before they're adopted?
Well, it kind of depends. It seems like a lot of the dogs go fast. There's not usually a dog like Frito who stays, you know, for a good part of a year.
Vaughn mentioned that when I was talking to him, actually.
Yeah. So most of the dogs usually go pretty fast. And I think the cats are maybe just a little bit slower, but they do come in and out pretty fast. There's only, you know, a handful of, you know, long-term residents that are at the shelter for very long.
Yes, and Vaughn was telling me about one cat in particular, long-haired gray, very pretty. But
Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the name again?
Sarah.
Sarah, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
That's been there a while. Yeah, she sounds beautiful, but a bit of a princess.
Yes.
Needs to be brushed, but doesn't like to be brushed.
Yes, she has a little bit of attitude, but she is a very beautiful cat.
Well, I'm a bit tempted myself by Sarah, so... Do you have any particular strategies at the shelter to help you to get dogs and cats adopted?
For me as a volunteer, I guess, when I spend time with the dogs or if I'm with the client spending time with the cats, just to try to, I guess, love on them while I'm there and kind of prepare them, I guess, or remind them, you know, how to interact with people and, you know, that there's nice people that want them and, you know, that are excited about, you know, spending time with them and caring for them. So I guess just making sure that the time that I'm there, the animal is having a good time.
Right, that you interact with it, socialize the animal.
Right.
Yeah. On the regular day when you're there, about how many people would you say come in to sort of look at the animals and check them out?
I would say maybe on a busy day between 5 and 10.
Every day, as a regular, I mean, as an average.
Average, that's quite a lot. The days that I'm there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like the summer is a little bit busier for some reason. But, there's quite a few people that come through.
I was surprised, actually, when Ron said that it was easier for dogs to get adopted than cats, because I think of dogs as a bit more trouble than cats.
Yeah, kind of a bigger responsibility.
Yes. So I was surprised by that.
Yeah.
Do you have any theories about that?
I'm not sure. I don't know if there's just more dog people in Ames or or what it is, but I do see that too.
Yeah.
The dogs
yeah.
go faster.
Well, quite a lot of people, my dog's getting so old, that, well, she's old for a newfie, but, you know, she's sort of sleepy and so on. It takes mm-hmm. a while to get her moving. You know, big dogs are that way anyway.
Right.
But even when she was young, people were surprised that she didn't sort of jump up and greet me when I came in, because that was what they think dogs do. You
right.
know? Dogs are always pleased to see you. Mm-hmm. In fact, my dog is always pleased to see new people that come to the house. I'm just, you know,
just
and I was
regular.
Just you again. You know? But I think that is a big, it's someone that's always pleased to see
right.
you. And yeah.
yeah.
Whereas cats might not make it so obvious that mm-hmm. they're more of a loner.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Have you seen the difference in your clients since they've been working with the animals?
I know the one client that I go there with most often really never wants to leave. She really loves being there. I think everyone could relate, you know, to feeling like you're giving something that's valuable or spending mm-hmm. time in mm-hmm. a way that's meaningful. And so I think she definitely appreciates that time she's able to spend and always looks forward to going and doesn't want to leave. And I think it's a fun outlet, you know. Everyone wants to have someone to care for
right.
or some way to give. And I think she really appreciates that.
Whereas the other one, the other client?
The other one is not as frequent. She likes to go and she likes to go. And,
okay.
you know, she doesn't volunteer, but she likes to spend time there occasionally.
But it's not such a fun thing for her. Maybe it will
right.
grow on her a bit more.
Right.
Yes.
The animal shelter is just a really fun place to mm-hmm. be involved with or to visit. Just, you know, all the staff are really friendly. And
so you'd recommend it as a fun volunteer job?
Definitely, yes.
yes.
They're always looking for more volunteers. There's uh-huh. always animals to spend time with.
And, right.
You know, if you can't have a pet, it's a good outlet to
it certainly is.
Spend time
now,
with
Now, you mentioned you're a college student.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer do you expect to be able to do this before you go off somewhere maybe with a
right.
new job? Or
I have a year left mm-hmm. of school, so potentially, depending on if I stay, next summer as well.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'm sure the animals and the volunteers will miss you.
Yeah, I will definitely miss the shelter.
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Megan, for coming in to talk to us about the animal shelter and the work you do there.
No problem. It was so fun. Thank you.
I've been talking to Megan Tokheim about the work she does at the Ames Animal Shelter with the animals and with the clients from Lutheran Social Services. Thank you very much, Megan.
Thank you.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson. And that was Kay Puttock doing her monthly thing, our Community Service Appreciation Program here at KHOI. If you're a loyal listener, you're going to be hearing some PSAs throughout the month about the animal shelter in Ames. If you have a community service organization that you would like to highlight on this show, get in touch with us. We've heard back from those that we've featured or that Kay has featured on this program, and they've really benefited from the greater awareness that our program brings. All right. And in the studio right now, we have Larry Sloan, who is the producer and owner with his wife of Iowa Talent Factory, located in Nevada, Iowa.
Sunny Nevada, Iowa, yep.
Of all places. And those of you who weren't there at the beginning of the show, you might want to sketch this number down, 232-0365. That's our in-studio line, 232-0365. And we direct your attention to that because Larry is being very generous this morning and sharing some tickets to upcoming shows on Saturday night with our listeners. Larry, let's talk about these shows right away so people can know what they're getting into here.
Great, Greta. I appreciate you guys having me on. Obviously, we want to get the word out about the Talent Factory. We've been there for about a year and a half, and we started with a lot of local acts, and we continue to offer local acts. But we're also starting to bring in national touring entertainment now. We have national touring comedians, magicians, ventriloquists, hypnotists, bands. And we're bringing all these to the huge metropolis of Nevada, Iowa. So
we'll discuss that in a minute. But the show coming up on Saturday that folks can get tickets to? What are those shows?
Well, those shows, we're bringing in three Las Vegas headlining magicians. We're bringing in Fielding West. Of course, he's a legend in the comedy and magic business. Keith West, who is with the entertainment group, and a young man named Chase Hasty, who's won about every major magic competition in the country. And he's featured in David Copperfield's museum. So this young man is incredible.
Wow. And so those are magic shows that are happening at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. on Saturday, right?
That's correct. As you know, it's Lincoln Highway Days over there. And we're offering that level of entertainment to get it out. The tickets are...
We can't get prices.
Okay. Let me say they're very reasonable.
Okay.
Compared to other markets. And we've done this because these people are friends of mine or friends of friends. And we were able to bring them in at reasonable prices. So we can offer that, and we're going to pass that along to the people.
Great. And these are family-friendly events, obviously, as magic shows at 7 and 9 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, the 7 o'clock is very family-friendly. We'd like to see a lot of children in there as well. The magicians will be out in front of the theater doing close-up magic and what we call bustling outside the theater for free and just to give people a taste of it. The 9 o'clock, depending on if there are children in the audience, could be a little more adult in nature, but not lewd by any stretch. And, of course, the 11 o'clock is a comedy hypnosis show, and that is an adult show.
Okay. So a sort of graduated degree of maturity.
Yes. Basically, it's based on bedtimes. So.
Okay. So let's open up the phone lines to anyone who would be interested in this magic show or know somebody else who would. Our phone line is 232-0365. And you're giving away tickets of four for each show.
We'd like to give away four tickets for each show, the 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and the 11 o'clock. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's 232-0365. So, Nevada, Iowa, first of all, I have to say that I love the facade for this theater. It's the old Camelot Theater.
Yes.
In Nevada, and it's one of those old-fashioned with the marquee. And
right. We're in the historical district. As a matter of fact, we're an anchor building in the historical district. The building was built in 1928, and it was a small fortune then. It was a very luxurious building compared to other theaters at that time. The man who built it, Oscar Strine, actually went bankrupt in the Depression and the market fall in 29. And a guy named Werner Grossman bought the building, brought Oscar back to run it for a while. Then Oscar's wife and her sister took over. So for 40 years, up until 1970, when Friedman bought the theater, these two little ladies ran this theater. So it was great.
And you have some wonderful historic pictures on your website. Would you like to give your website out?
Absolutely. The website is www.iowatalentfactory.com. And, of course, they can also find us on Facebook at the Talent Factory.
Okay. So tell me about the interior of the building. I have not been inside.
The interior is beautiful. There are loges or balcony boxes on both sides. They're not usable. I mean, they're for looks. But they're beautiful. We have 40-foot ceilings. We have starlights embedded in the ceiling. The balcony seats 165 people. And up in the balcony, we had the first reclining seats west of the Mississippi. So the seats in the balcony are really comfortable. The bottom slides out. The back drops down. It's kind of like a Berkliner. Mm. And then we seat about 250 on the ground floor. The stage is about 18 feet deep, 30 foot tall, and 35 feet across, I think. So we've got a wonderful sound system in there. The building was built originally for vaudeville and plays and bands and such, as well as what they called picture shows. The acoustics are fabulous. I mean, you could hear a whisper from the back, and that makes it a great place for these guys to play. So It's a wonderful building, and it hasn't been kept up well in the past decade. So there was a lot of work to do. We completely remodeled the lobby and the new cabinets and such, but we did it in mind with the decor that was there originally. So we've tried to stay true to the historical side of that.
This is kind of amazing, and you know, this national talent that you're bringing in to Nevada. And I've got to ask, why Nevada?
My wife and I were looking for a way to get out of Ankeny. We lived in Ankeny for a long time. And I'm not a big urban kind of guy or even real suburban kind of guy. And we decided that we wanted to find a small town that we liked and kind of like I grew up in Ankeny when it was very small. We had some friends up in Nevada, John and Sharon Little, who were very dear friends, and they loved Nevada. So we did some shopping, and I did the good old boy market where I found an older gentleman that had been there, I think, since they laid the dirt down there. And Ernie told me, he says, "Yeah, kid," he says, "oh, I'll find you a house." So we went back there 2 weeks later. He says, "Yeah," he says, "I found you a house." He says, "The old gal, she wasn't really interested in selling it, but," he says, "I went to high school with her, so," he says, "I can get you a deal on it." So we went ahead and bought the house, and we've been there for 21 years now, and I love it. You know, neat area.
Wow. And this is something – you're offering something that's really unique to Story County, to the region in general. This comedy and
– Yeah, yeah. We the movie industry, especially theaters and such, is a very hard industry to make any money on because the big film companies really have a lock. And so very difficult to make money at that. So I have a background in comedy and producing comedy shows. So my wife and I decided that would be something that would really be a lot of fun to do. And, again, we started out small, but we planned on eventually having larger acts in there, and we've been able to get that started.
Okay. Did you get that Camelot Theater, you know, was that a deal that you – or
yeah.
Was that another deal that your friend helped you with?
No, we saw it sitting uptown and not being used. One of the former owners happened to be Rob Bacon, who owns Bacon Funeral Homes, and he's a state senator, or was at that time. He's a congressman now. But Rob owned it, and he tried doing movies and everything, and he eventually decided to sell it. The people that bought it weren't really able to make it work in movies, and they didn't have – I guess the connections or the experience in being an impresario into getting people, you know, to come to the theater for entertainment. So it didn't go well for them. I saw that it was up for sale. So one day I came home and said, "Honey, I bought a theater." And my wife, we've been married 42 years. She's a fabulous woman, but she stood behind me all the way, and she's been a huge, huge help in getting this off the ground. She does all of our graphics work, and she's very organized, where I'm more of the squirrel fan. You know, if I see something off running, I'm following it. So,
and you've brought country music as well as comedy, puppetry, tribute shows.
Yes.
Judy Garland, impersonating Judy Garland and Elvis.
Yeah. Presha Paulding in Des Moines is a fabulous artist. She's very talented. She's a wonderful singer. She's an actress. She does commercials. She does a lot of theater. And she's also a Judy Garland impersonator. And, man, she is spot on, and she really preps for it. The Elvis act was a guy named Ron Semler, and he's nearly Elvis. And he's done large areas. He's done Branson and all over the country. They were great hits. Both of them were great shows.
Okay. Well, we have a recipient of the first four tickets. These were – did he say which show he wanted to attend?
7 p.m.
7 p.m. family music show. Great. Magic.
Right.
I said music. Well, I meant magic.
There'll be music there.
Okay. There's always music.
Always.
You know, the human voice is a wonderful musical instrument.
Yes.
You said that you started out in comedy.
Uh-huh.
Tell me more about your background.
As a kid, I always wanted to be a comedian, and which didn't fare well for me in school. But later in life, I told my wife many, many years ago, you know, I'd love to be able to perform on a stage. So I actually took some comedy classes and started doing some stand-up and open mics such as that. And back around 2000, a friend of mine at a television station said, you know, we're always looking for content. And the station was KPWB, a Warner Brothers affiliate. So I said, you know, do they ever take pilots? You know, and he said, sure. And I said, well, I'd love to do a pilot for KPWB. So we put together a show we called LOL in Des Moines, Laughing Out Loud in Des Moines. And we found all amateurs, people that many of them, most of them had never been on stage before. And we interviewed and auditioned them. And I've got to tell you, I found some of the funniest people I've ever heard, just amateurs coming out. Professor Peter O'Rozum, he's here in Ames, a wonderful guy. He's probably one of the funniest guys I've ever seen perform, and great material. Comedian Bill Blank came in. He was brand new at that time, and he did our show. He's a friend of mine. And it was great. We had four sold-out shows in a row down at the Comedy Club. And the problem was we had good video. We managed to buy a video mixer and some cameras. And the problem was we were doing this on a real shoestring budget. So the audio was not broadcast quality, and that was a big problem. If you want to find a comedian, follow the microphone cord. He's going to be on the end of the microphone cord. You know, that's where he's at. That's where he lives. But we also had a sketch group and an improv group. And a sketch group, you know, we weren't able to get lav mics for everybody or individual mics. So trying to mic them, it was very difficult. And, of course, working with improv groups is like herding cats. It just can't be done. We never knew where we were going to find them, outside in the restrooms, under tables, you know. It was very hard to get good audio on them. So at that time, I've had a lot of guys asking, say, are you ever going to do this again? And, of course, now we can afford it, and now we have pretty good equipment. So, yeah, I'd love to do that again, actually, and that's one of our plans for the future is to try to do another show like that. Back in 2000, that was kind of the precursor for America's Got Talent. I mean, we were showcasing amateurs and tremendously funny people.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a musical break right now. Before we do, let's remind all our listeners of the phone number here in the studio. It is evidently working. 232-0365. Give us a call if you would like to go to the magic show at the Talent Factory in Nevada, Iowa. We have 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. tickets still available, and we are talking to Larry Sloan, and we'll be back. This is Greta Anderson, your host for Local Talk. The day is August 20th, 2014, about 50 years ago, something very important to me happened. We're here with Larry Sloan and the Iowa Talent Factory, and we've been giving away tickets to a magic show that he is putting on, and he is producing some national-level performers, Keith West, Fielding West, and Chase Hasty, who are coming into town just because they're friends of yours, Larry?
Well, friends of friends, and that's kind of how the entertainment business works. I might mention Chase Hasty is 18 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's a very young, very fresh-faced young man, and he's going to be a huge addition to the show.
Okay. And so if you're interested in capturing some of these free tickets that Larry is generously giving away to our listeners, give us a call at 232-0365. I think that's the number. I've lost my script here. Oh, okay. I got it right, 232-0365. So you guys, you can remember that too in the time that it takes you to go over to your phone. And, oh, we have a caller. Great. Okay, so as we've talked about earlier, the shows are kind of graduated in terms of their mature content. We have a 7 p.m. show for families, a 9 p.m. show for maybe teens and families, and 11 o'clock show for the adults, where I guess we'll get a little raunchy and racy. So that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. I have hypnosis written down. What's that about?
Yeah, Fielding West is a master hypnotist. And the 11 o'clock show, basically, what he'll do is get volunteers from the audience, 6, 8, maybe 10 people, and be able to hypnotize them on stage. So it's great fun.
That never works for me. Nobody can hypnotize me.
That's what everybody says, and it makes for a great show.
Okay, well, we have a caller. Are you there?
Yep.
Okay, and this is a familiar voice. Who am I talking to?
This is Ursula, and I'm calling to talk about why this day is special. Happy birthday, Greta.
Oh, you figured it out. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to hold up the show, but I just wanted to say this is Greta's birthday and happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ursula. And it is a big one. I am entering my 6th decade on this fair earth. It's amazing.
You know, once you turn 50, you can do anything you want.
Well, that's good to know.
You have permission now to do anything you want.
Even on the air?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
You have permission to do anything you want that the FCC lets you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
Bye-bye.
Good enough. Bye.
Good. I've got to say, you don't look a year over half a century.
Oh, wow. Well. Yeah, it's my lifestyle. Okay, so once again, we're offering tickets, 232-0365. The magic show sounds like fun. And we have in the studio another couple of people who produce magic of their own in their community. Just by being themselves and being such wonderful people. Full disclosure, I go way back with these people. Jan Cook and Bob Johnson, welcome to the show.
Howdy.
Wonderful to be here.
Okay, and they are representatives of an organization called Community That Works. And as I said earlier, Community That Works, the main source of their income at this time is sales from the stuff they get dumpster diving. But they have a much more glorious mission than that. So let's talk about that glorious mission before we get into the dumpster diving, the dirt. Jan, can you talk about what the mission of this group is?
Well, a Community That Works has a long history in Ames under many umbrella organizations and with many different names itself, But our purpose is community building. I call us a community building community. And our philosophy is that every human being has gifts and talents, and every human being has needs. And when you build community, everyone has a chance to share both the needs and their strengths. One of the tragedies of being labeled with a disability or something is that people see only your needs and they don't see your strengths. They don't see your gifts and talents. And this is a place where everyone's talents are recognized and everyone has a place where they are valued. Basically, we're about building community across all the barriers.
This group kind of grew out of another group called Beyond Welfare. Beyond Welfare originated in the 1990s, in the first years of the Clinton administration, when he reformed welfare as we know it, forcing single mothers back to work with all of the complications that that brings for people, you know, having a job, having children that they need to take care of. And the original idea was to bring together people who are experiencing poverty with people who are not experiencing poverty financially, but who might have needs in their life that they don't quite acknowledge or know about. And
at first, our primary focus was on financial poverty, as you mentioned. And we brought together people across the financial spectrum to help people get off of welfare and into jobs and such. But we realized that people have other needs. People have a need for friendship, for real, mutual, caring friendship. And people have a need for meaning.
Right. And, you know, one thing that kept on coming up when I was part of this group, you know, I just kept noticing how well people who are in poverty do certain things, like how well they interact with each other, how, like, they have a gift for not being so busy that they can't talk to you, which is some of the problems that people who, you know, have a job, they can often be too busy for you to talk to or have lunch with or just do something spontaneous with. You know, people in poverty have a gift, have so many gifts, really, to open up our hearts and our minds and help us experience life to its fullest. And so for me, being part of that organization was a way to really make some amazing friendships that continue to this day and also learn the struggles that people in poverty must go through.
People in poverty really get it, that if you don't have friends and you don't have money, you are in big trouble. And people who are struggling in poverty are the most likely to help somebody else who's struggling with poverty. I'll watch your kids. I'll give you a ride to the grocery store. And they really have a gift for reaching out.
Yeah. I want to bring Bob into the conversation. Bob has many gifts and talents as well. And one of his gifts is for sniffing out stuff that's being thrown away by some of the folks who have excess in our community, and there are lots of them. So, Bob, tell us about your dumpster diving excursions.
Well, first of all, I didn't even learn all about this stuff until I started with Beyond Welfare. My mother-in-law kind of turned me on to it, and then it wasn't until earlier this year I ran into a guy who really kind of showed me the ropes, and I took that and turned it into a science, I guess.
As you do everything that you
do. Yeah, I do.
So the best time to dumpster dive, obviously, is it's past. We just passed the big holiday for dumpster diving in Ames.
We really made it a point to to really go at it here in this last month.
And what's so special about August?
The leases are up.
The leases on apartments are up. People are changing apartments. So students moving out, desperate people do desperate things. They're throwing away some good stuff.
Well, what you kind of look at it is about half of this town is comprised of students, and about a quarter of those are coming and going every year. So about an eighth of the town is just up and leaving. And then of those, you know, you can say there's another percentage that are moving long distances and don't want to take any of their stuff with them. They just throw it all to the curb. Some of those people are going out of the country, and all they're taking is two bags. So oftentimes you'll find the entire household out on the curb, and it's just there for the taking. And there's so many people that, you know, dealing with poverty that a lot of people don't even know about, you know, this type of thing going on. So what we've tried to do is go out there and collect the stuff to be able to, like, have it readily available for when people have the need. In fact, it kind of comes about from our meetings, and part of our practices is to have the alternative economy where we have wants, needs, and offers. And
so anything you might find in a dumpster to your members, to the people who attend regularly, if they need that particular thing, bingo.
Well, yeah. Well, we really had thought about doing like a full-scale type, you know, thing where you have lots of people go out and do all this and that. And it really didn't kind of come through. It was mostly just me and a couple other people doing it. But like we would like to upscale this.
Yeah. Well, storage would be an issue if you're going to upscale your dumpster diving. That's a big deal. Are there other times of the month? I mean, are there other times, you know, when we're not doing the August turnover, you know, are there certain dumpsters that you go back to again and again because they always yield a lot of stuff? Or how does that work in times other than August? You don't have to give any, like, specific details. That's like giving away your Morel mushroom hunting spot. But, I mean,
yeah. No, the August is going to be the big one. But then you're going to have the semester changes where students will just up and leave as well. Aside from that, I don't know. I'm still learning.
All right. Well, and we got Vivica up to do sports very shortly. But before we close with you guys, you have regular meetings where you practice these values that you've laid out, Jan.
Yes.
And those meetings are at Food at First, right?
Yes, at First Methodist Church downtown. And we join them for the Food at First meal at 5:30. And then our meetings are at 6:30 there at the church.
6:30 p.m.?
Yes.
On Tuesdays?
On every Tuesday.
And are you there on Thursday as well?
Yes. We've kind of upscaled it, and we're starting to do a little more here and there. And so the Thursdays, I'm always there on Thursday. We're usually dealing more with spreadsheets and data and the website and all that jazz. Right.
Organizing.
Yeah. Yeah, programs. I just started a computer program. Gosh, I had like 12 laptops from the last month. And I've already gotten 4 or 5 of them up and running, and we're handing those out to the Community That Works members as
well. Are you saying that you found some laptops in dumpsters?
12 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not including the desktops and the other digital devices and all that jazz. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is this Community That Works at Food at First at 6:30 on Tuesday. About how many people are showing up?
Oh, usually we have between 1 and 2 dozen people, and we have an open door. People are welcome to just come in and join us.
And, 1 and 2 dozen people?
2 dozen.
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 Oh.
Sorry. Yeah, 1 and 2 dozen people, 12 to 24 people.
Gotcha. Well, okay, yeah, I was really just, whew. Okay, so between 1 and 2 dozen people show up and get together and talk about their lives and get support. It's great that, you know, that you're breathing some new life into this organization. And, Bob, it sounds like you're really working hard to make things happen among the community that works community. So that's something for people to check out at First Methodist Church in Ames on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay, up next we've got Vivica on sports. So what's going on with the sports scene, Vivica?
Well, we're going to start off with football. And I know a lot of people are excited. It's finally here. The Cleveland Browns.
That's my team.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
well, it was before they became the Ravens.
Oh, see.
Way back in the
day. Way before me. So, but they're having some issues with their quarterback. I don't know if any of you saw this, but Monday Night Football, Johnny Manziel, going against the Redskins, he gave their bench. He gave them the middle finger. It wouldn't have been such a big deal if all the cameras on ESPN and everything weren't on him. So everybody caught it. So
my goodness.
Yeah.
That's
so
like
now,
a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. It's a big deal because the Cleveland Browns, the coach, hasn't picked a starting quarterback yet. And, you know, since his numbers aren't that great, people are wondering, will that affect his chances of being the starting quarterback? But for football fans, this weekend is packed with some great games. Tomorrow night starts off Thursday Night Football, and the Steelers.
Really?
Yes. The
football
Steelers.
Season.
Football season. This is the third week of the preseason.
Okay.
Yes. So tomorrow night, the Steelers and the Eagles face off. Okay. So hopefully you catch that one. And now on the baseball, Ken Griffey Jr., and he continues to let people know, yeah, he's better than his father. I had to do some research to realize that.
Well, now, you're talking about another one of my heroes from my childhood, Ken Griffey from the Cincinnati Reds. Whew, I just love the whole Cincinnati Reds team, the big red machine, 76.
His son is better than him, so you should probably like the Marlins.
Okay.
But he actually hit his 630th home run, which puts him at sixth place in the history books. The only problem with that is, analysts and all the fans are saying that he could, if he were to remain healthy, I don't know if you know this, but he suffered a lot of leg injuries throughout his career, like on the later half of his career. He could be in the 800s where when it's time for him to retire, he could be the home run king. So a lot of people are still on edge with that one.
His dad was also known for his speed, but I guess if he's got some leg injuries.
Yeah, he don't have that much speed. But the baseball playoffs are actually approaching pretty quickly. And here are some division standings for the American League. Baltimore leads the East with a 71-52 record. Kansas City leads the Central with a 69-55 record. And the Angels lead the West with a 73-50. And for the National League, the East is led by Washington with a 70-53 record, while Milwaukee leads the Central with a 70-55 record. And finally, the Dodgers lead the West with a 70-56 record. And while we're on the topic of baseball, the Little League World Series is heating up, and so is 13-year-old sensation Monet Davis. She is gaining national attention first by being the first girl in history to pitch a shutout in the Little Leagues.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Is this a Little League team made up of just girls, or it's just all kids?
Mm-hmm.
But she's
like one of maybe three girls that's in there. I think she actually may be the only girl that's participating.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
And does she throw the ball overhand? And
yeah. Like, yeah.
It's wow.
Yeah, she's
that's amazing.
Yeah, she actually she has some choice words for people that were saying, she throws like a girl, but she actually, if you haven't had a chance to see, she has a 70 mile an hour pitch. So you should hop online and catch that.
Wow.
But yeah, I know, right? But she also was able to score the most iconic place in sports. She got the national cover for Sports Illustrated this week.
And she wasn't wearing a bathing suit?
No. No, she was in her baseball uniform throwing that overhand pitch. So.
My goodness.
Yeah. So, yeah. And lastly, Team USA is now in New York as they prepare for a game tonight against Dominican Republic. And they have another game in about 2 days against Puerto Rico.
Is that basketball?
Yes.
Team USA. Whenever we talk about Team USA, that means basketball?
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It all depends on the season and, yeah.
Okay.
But, and so they are set to play tonight in Madison Square Garden, and Derrick Rose is still expected to start after sitting out 2 days to let his knee rest.
And he is a professional player?
Yeah.
All right, so Team USA is just like the best players playing during the off season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Vivica. You some really interesting things going on there. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We spoke with Megan Tokaim, a volunteer at the Ames Animal Shelter, interviewed by Kay Puttock. Larry Sloan of the Iowa Talent Factory is offering tickets to our listeners. I guess if you tune in at noon or 7 p.m., you still have an opportunity to pick up some of the tickets. That number is call us at our office telephone, 292-2878, and we may be able to hook you up with some tickets to that magic show in Nevada, Iowa. And we spoke with two people from Community That Works, Jan Cook and Bob Johnson. And that organization helps people in poverty kind of from the inside out, finding the gifts and talents in everyone and giving people an opportunity, a kind of an arena in which they can exercise those gifts and talents and get their needs met. Local Talk is a production workshop as well as a show. If you'd like to get involved and join our team, please do. Come down on the station at 410 Douglas Ave or call us at 292-2878. Our shows are online at our website, khoifm.org. We'll also link to that Community That Works website. Thank you for listening, and see you again on the radio.